quite right too. Thank you very much. Okay, there we are, sorted through and magically arranged. Sarah Bullimore is in the house, so to speak, after not obviously being around for the broadcast-a-thon. Why, Sarah?
I was busy doing Christmas.
Busy doing Christmas, whilst the likes of Cameron Tilbury, Phil Leonis, and the whole heap of others, 65 telephonic guests, 28 studio co-presenters, that's not including, of course, the Balegate Choir. We were actually saving the galaxy and the cosmos, saving the planet Earth, as people would say, oh, we're still here. Yeah, but would we have been here, Cameron Tilbury, if we hadn't actually done the broadcast-a-thon?
You have to ask yourself that. You
exactly.
Know, it's kind of one of those transcendental things that I was going to go down the Star Trek route there, but then it would have been Geek Alert. But yeah, it would have been interesting to find out.
There's nothing wrong with geeks. Remember, the name originates from people who used to actually bite the heads off live chickens in carnival conversations.
Right.
So, you know, so geeks of the world, unite, but go easy on the chickens. That's what we say. That's our motto for the show. Go easy on the chickens. One of the fine Cameron Tilbury artistes, of which I think there were a fantastic number, 10 or 11 or so, who actually took part in the marathon, all, of course, apart from one sad soul, Sarah, who was all set with psychic surgery, but sadly, we'd lost his track in the system. I'm the guilt that sort of waded over me over the whole period has been, nil desperandum. We will obviously return to Tall Dark Stranger in the fullness of time. But this is a British act who has been producing a marvellous selection of bits and pieces. And as we said when we spoke to Leslie Curtis, she's been in the business a wee while. She's been sorting out all sorts of other bits and pieces. Why, Cameron, did you decide to award Leslie Curtis, of all of your fine, talented stars, the honour of being the first midweek drive Cameron Tilbury Nashville musical selection for 2013?
Well, Leslie, I'm really happy to work with Leslie. We've known each other for a few years, and she released her new album called Naked just before Christmas, and that's available on iTunes and on her website. And we started working together on this single. This is the first release week, so the single went out on Monday to radio around the world. We've already had some pickups on it, so things are going good for Leslie. She's been asked to do some interviews, and I'm really pleased for her, so we wanted to see how this would go. And this is the first selection of the new year, brand new from Leslie Curtis. It's called Before She Walked a Mile on Siren FM. What say you, Sarah Bullimore? What do you make of Before She Walked a Mile by Leslie Curtis?
I thought it was lovely, very relaxing.
Yeah, I think so too.
Sarah Bullimore, making literary festivals and theatre companies just that little bit more special.
I think that's very true, really. What do you do?
Now, I love the
I just wanted to say too that Leslie, go and check out her Facebook page, Leslie Curtis Singer page. And she's going to be performing in Lincolnshire on the 18th. Of January at the Voodoo Lounge in Stanford.
Now, I happen to be on Facebook at present, so would you like to actually... Oh, just Lord above, you see, you just mentioned Leslie Curtis and suddenly exciting things happen. So
there you
go. Leslie Curtis, musician / band. I think we might have actually liked her before. So here we are, and the new album, rightly so, Naked, is out now. I notice she's not actually naked in the photograph, though. Now, you see, when Annika Wills did her second volume of her autobiography, Naked, she actually was naked on the front cover of the book. So I think not that we're sort of suggesting that Leslie should have to be naked just because she's called the album Naked, but you see where we're going here, obviously. You know, www.lesliecurtis.com. is the line for that.
And,
I think I already like it, but I'll like it again. I don't know. Anyway, yes, I've just liked that one, so I'm sure. You've got one of those digicodes on there as well. It's very exciting. You can actually scan it with all sorts of other wonderful things on that basis. Sarah, anything you'd like to question Cameron about, such as the delights of Leslie Curtis's new album, and indeed, anything, really?
Cameron, you said that she's performing at the Voodoo Lounge in Stamford. Have you used that a lot, or have you been there before?
She's been there before, and always has a good crowd. I've seen her there
a couple of times.
Yeah, it's a nice venue. The Voodoo Lounge is just such a great kind of venue. It's right underneath Mama Liz's there in Stamford. She always has a good show, and this is going to be kind of her CD release party as well, so it looks like it's going to be fun.
Excellent. Yeah, we've used the venue in the past before for events and that, and it's a great place.
Yeah.
We've just had a Facebook update from Katie Grimerson. She's back and she's listening. Isn't that nice? You know, I feel as though the world is almost complete. People might say, yes, but what about Tasha Turney, Tiffany Freeman, Natalie Tuck and company? Yeah, obviously Sarah Bollimore goes without saying. It's crucial that you're actually here from that point of view. But, you know, just getting that sort of update to actually say that Katie Grimerson is listening is always good.
Katie.
It's not in a scary sense either. I mean, there are certain people, Sarah, you may not have encountered them. I unfortunately have, who when they say, I'm listening, it's scary. It's quite frankly, you don't want to encounter them in any way, shape or form. But, you know, the bottom line is, you know, we with Katie, you kind of know it's all in good, positive faith from that point of view. Might like to actually say to Katie that, you know, although she might have scheduled in her timetable for next week that it's a 9 a.m. start for the Monday, probably actually is, but it'd be a very short session because we'll be reassembling again on the Tuesday. It may make no sense whatsoever, that. It could be code. Cameron, have you had a good festive time over there? Because we haven't, as I say, the last time we spoke was in the midst of obviously our 25-hour scenario. And what was your feedback from that? Because, I mean, you know, I think we're allowed the luxury of having one or two sort of little thoughts before we head off to Sarah Gayton to find out what she's actually doing with respect to social media and social campaigning and indeed the House of Lords. What was the sort of general vibe from your artists about the setup?
Oh, everybody had a great time. Everybody was really pleased to be a part of it. Actually asked, what are you doing the next one?
Well, it's
about 5,000 years.
Yeah, I was going to say 5,175 years. You know, it's like, you know, a good cook. You know, you need to sort of just put the ingredients together. But as I say, worry not, guys, because clearly we will be having, you know, at least, you know, 2 hours on a Wednesday midweek drive, 2 hours on a Thursday midweek drive morning edition, 8 a.m. through 10 a.m. You know, you can always stay there, and as we also said, you can download the whole chunk of that stuff. Now, obviously, you won't get all the music because we had to edit various other bits and pieces on there, but you will get, you know, lots of other delightful things coming through. So great
I do
stuff.
Have to tell you though, Seth Alley, who was a guest on the, on
yes.
the show,
yes,
he is apparently his mother was playing the radio station when she works at a school in his hometown of Smyrna. I think it's Smyrna. Anyway, she was playing, and girls were coming up to him and asking for his autograph. He's a big fan of the station now. He says he loves the really eclectic mix of music that the station plays. So you've got a listener in Nashville now.
See, that's what we like to hear, you know. And Seth Alley, we salute you. In fact, I'm tempted to do it. I will, Sarah. I'm going to actually use the sort of magical power to award Seth Alley official honorary ambassadorial Siren FM status. It's the New Year's Honours scenario that we've actually put together, you know, and Seth Alley will be the first of the musicians from Nashville who will have ambassadorial status.
Yeah, does he get a sash with that? Does he get one of those things to wear?
I think we might well get a card. I'm not sure whether we'd actually go for the sash. You know, card, yes. See where we're going. Very good. I like that. It's brilliant. We'll be hearing, I'm sure, from Seth as the whole thing proceeds. Cameron, we've got lots of other treats coming up as the weeks actually proceed. Just need to sneak this little peek in that in a couple of weeks' time, the legend that has become legendary, our Teutonic authoress, of course, of the Rockstar trilogy, that would be Nikki Wells, she's going to be launching her own book in this very studio at this very moment. Oh, it's exciting. She's coming in Fortnite's time to actually talk about it. She's online tomorrow to speak about that. This is what Lincoln Inspired is all about, isn't it, Sarah?
It is indeed, Alex, bringing everyone together.
So tell Cameron. I say tell Cameron in a kind of definite way there. Explain to Cameron and the listener why May this year is looking as though it's going to be inspiring, not just for the world, but for Lincoln as well.
It is. We're going to be programming from the 7th to 12th of May and kind of around that with fringe events as well. Lots of different kind of artistic events and literature events across the whole city, using all venues, schools, libraries, the drill hall, art centres, cafes, pubs, lots of different things, from music, exhibitions, workshops, children's and young people's programmes, but also with a lot of kind of local artists as well. So just providing opportunities to inspire everybody.
Wow.
That's all you can really say. That's just wow. In fact, the only thing I can actually say as we begin to sort of head off to Sarah Gayton is another introduction which ties into the whole thing. But Sarah, first task of the new year, well, first task as far as broadcasting is concerned, last two questions for Cameron Tilbury, please.
Have you had a good conversation with us today, Cameron?
I certainly have.
Brilliant. And can we look forward to speaking to you again, no doubt, next week?
Can't wait.
Excellent.
Looking forward to it. Actually, you know, well, I think Cameron possibly deserves a little treat as well. And, okay. You know, obviously we had over 60 co-presenters. We had lots of tropes. But there were a few folk, as I mentioned, obviously Sarah Bullamar, who weren't able to actually be on the marathon, etc. We had one of the most wonderful answer phone messages that came from Marty Engels, of course, a great friend of Jerry Lee Lewis, and Jerry Lewis, of course, a whole heap of other fine folk, Frank Sinatra and so on. Marty Engels, of course, married to Academy Award winner Shirley Jones, and Marty's good guy. He should be on the show next week, fingers crossed. But he actually left this message from California, which I would you like to be the first person to, together with our listener, of course, to actually catch this one, Cameron? Because this is what Marty actually said on his answer phone message.
Okay, I did get a hold of you. Because it's, what is it, the 22nd now, and it's raining in California. This is Marty Eagles. Alex, I got your message. I got it on the yesterday. I don't check in very often these days. So, I guess we blew the December 20th thing. That's too bad. I hope it went well. But if you want to do it again anytime now, if it's, I know we didn't do the big telethon or whatever it is you do, Christmas thon, the Ingalls thon, the California thon, let's talk to some crazy people thon, right? All of those. But if you want to, do it again, give me a call anytime during our times, and I'll jump on and see if Shirley and I can do it, We'll set it or do it, spontaneously. That's the basic number. You can add whatever you need to add for across the pond and all that business. Okay? I hope you're having a good holiday, and we'll expect your call. Thanks.
And I think somehow, let's talk to some crazy people-a-thon could be the way to go.
Sounds like Marty needs a nap. Really.
Well, yeah. I think either that, the Ingalls-a-thon possibility,
the
California-thon, exactly. I think Marty might just have touched on something there, which we will chase up in around about 7 days from now. We've asked those last two questions. Cameron Tilbury will return. The reward that Katie Grimerson gets for actually sending in the first ever Facebook update is this little band, The Cure. Seems, Sarah Bullimore, that it's not just Katie Grimerson who actually likes Friday, I'm in Love by The Cure. It's also your namesake, Sarah Gayton. Isn't that right, Sarah?
I love that song. I've been bopping away while I've been waiting.
So I think we put you two Sarahs in touch to produce the delights that was Sarah Squared towards the back end of 2012. We thought it was a crucial thing to actually do on that basis, between obviously your ideas for Rural Matters and Sarah's wonderful Lincoln-inspired setup, etc. Do you think that's going to bear fruit, Miss Bullimore?
I think so too. We had a very fantastic conversation, didn't we, Sarah?
Oh, we did.
It was very inspiring, and Sarah's great. She's really enthusiastic and kind of gets you going, really.
Well, exactly so. The way forward. OT Biscuits' finest, Chief Executive Officer and indeed former Kosovo waste reclamation expert. Where do we start today, Sarah? Some serious matters, actually, because you've raised a number of issues. I know that people were a little bit askance when they were listening to you talking about saving the roundabout in Staffordshire. That was subsequently unsuccessful. But it would seem that the story hasn't ended there, because you've taken this on. And on a very serious note, sadly, it's crossed the life of a number of visually impaired people who've actually had difficulty crossing the road because road crossings are not necessarily in place. Share with us what's been happening.
Challenge on the hand crossing those roads the people have, and basically the blind people now have stopped going in that area, and they will only go on one side of the road, one of them will, and on what I've done, because I was sort of mortified that nobody would listen to our concerns on how these blind people, partially sighted people, disabled and everybody else would cross these roads. So what I've done, I did a little challenge just before Christmas after doing all the mince pies. Me and Mrs. Marple, i.e. Jean, we went and we did a three-minute challenge. And this was 7 days after the United Nations Disability Day all around the world. So what I did, we just said, how would a blind person or a partially sighted disabled person cross this road? And we walked through the crossing, because there's no bleeper, there's no traffic light, there's nothing to tell you how to cross that road. Anyway, you know all this twittering when you've got the hashtag, and I think it stops about 7 days, doesn't it, on the system. So I followed that hashtag all around the world. I just tweeted them this UN challenge for the UN Day plus seven. Well, anyway, we've got cooperation in Australia, New Zealand, Indonesia came back to me, people in Canada have come back to me, I think India as well. We've got all different people that have come back. But over Christmas, I got a bit bored near, I think it was New Year's Day, and I emailed all of the Lords that were on email in London. And I thought, you know what, they'll either just ignore me or they'll come back positive. Well, they've come back instantly. 17 of them have come back, and they're all inspired what we're doing, inspired the fact that we've asked this very simple question, that how does a blind person cross the road? And I asked them if they could help me organise a conference for this year, 3rd of December 2013, for the 21st birthday of the UN Disability Day. And this Lord Lowe has come back, and he said, I've been campaigning on this issue for years. So he is going to sponsor us. He's going to go and ask the Guide Dogs for the Blind to see if they will be the organisation to work with us. I'm going to ask the Federation of Blind and the Royal Institute for the Blind, and we're going to have one of the most amazing conferences in the heart of government on that day to highlight this issue. So, but what I'm doing as well on Twitter is I'm asking people that are disabled that I managed to find or find me, I'm asking them if they can then go and just do a very short video clip of their problems in their towns. Now, you could do it for Lincoln as well for me, please. If there is a problem, if there isn't, or if there's a good solution, film it, and that can be part of this conference. And this gentleman on from Manchester, he tweeted me, and he says, me and my mates can't cross a road now because their council had put a refuge in that was too small for him and his carers to be in there safely. So all of a sudden, they're excluded from that part of town. And I said, look, just film it. It doesn't matter how rough the film is. We've just got to show people this problem that exists, and I'm looking for solutions as well. So I'm absolutely inspired by the Lords. If anybody's got a problem out there, just contact them, because they're helping. Well, I feel like a release has happened. Also, again, don't be scared of asking other people in other countries, because they might have a different solution.
I mean, this is something we talk about, and in the sort of halcyon days of the 20th century, the likes of Tim Berners-Lee, of course, freedom of the internet and digital technology, with respect to, well, obviously, Nicholas Negroponte and other academics were saying, this is the whole thing, this is what advocates of the web would actually say, it's the reason it needs to be free, so that people can actually contact that. We'll come back to your next stage in a few seconds, but Sarah Bullimore, we had success, I mean, I'd say collectively, in terms of obviously crowdfunding, as far as the Lincoln Inspired is concerned.
Brilliant.
And that's worked purely and simply via the web. Well,
it
not
has,
so
yeah.
I mean, not solely, but it's got the word out from that point
it
of view.
It did. I mean, we were totally relying on kind of social media, really, and Facebook, and mostly Twitter, really, just to for everyone to use the hashtag and for everyone to kind of retweet and get the message out there. And also part of the crowdfunding campaigns is to try and kind of pass it through cultural champions and friends and family and just kind of reach everyone, as you say. And it's so easy to do that, and everyone kind of reads it and gets excited about it, and then everyone kind of follows you and just kind of builds and builds, really.
Brilliant! Absolutely, well done.
Taking that on board, and once again, Sarah Bullimore, how can we actually follow Lincoln Inspired via Twitter and so on if we're not already doing it? What's the message?
Just look for Lincoln Inspired, and we're on Facebook and Twitter on there. But we'll be doing some more crowdfunding, because of course we've not reached our target just yet. We've reached that one, so kind of keep an eye out really on the Facebook and Twitter.
And there'll be lots of audio goodies as well that you can connect in with from Siren and various other stations as well. Okay, serious point again, Sarah, now. How can we actually use social networking media to actually solve conflict in war zones?
Well, that's the other thing. What I honestly think, you know, we did this Porridge Power.
I was going to mention that because you raised this last time, and I was listening to a different station, Five Live, that was also talking about this very fact that has been introduced by Golden Breakfast. I think in Liverpool and I think Birmingham and areas in London, etc. They've got various major oats companies. I can't believe they're bigger than Oaty Biscuits, but actually they are. But they're actually sort of providing it to actually sort of ensure that children will actually get a decent breakfast, because I was astounded to find that an awful lot of children in Britain go to school without any breakfast, not through choice, but because their parents or guardians can't literally spend the time to actually give them a breakfast, even if it's a bowl of cereal. And so they're packaged off. And often if they're being looked after by an elder sibling, it's the same kind of thing. It's a case of the package off to school. And they, again, might be choice. Some people don't go do breakfast. But I find that in 21st century Britain, as I said last year when we spoke about this first time, Sarah, I thought that's slightly disturbing, really.
Is my honest opinion, we've raced as a country for that stunning Olympics, right? And I'm not knocking that one bit, because I think we'll get a massive legacy. But I think we've got to look now at the basics. What do people need to start them off in a healthy, good life? And if we can inspire those kids now, eating the oats, into sport, into where the food comes, we can inspire this generation. And I think sometimes it takes something just to say to us in a country, well, hold on, what do we actually want? And I just think people took the eye off the ball, because there's all this talk about terrorism, all this threat of this, that and the other. And in reality, blind people can't cross a road in safety. Disabled people can't cross a road in safety. The kids have been going to school hungry. And it's like, well, actually, come on, let's just do it. Let's get this legacy going. And Blackpool have started feeding all their children in their schools. It's a pilot project. I phoned up Blackpool Council. I said, we're going to cooperate with the National Teachers Association. And this one was like, what is? So we're going to write in. And I told them about this link to the sports people that we were talking about, to inspire the kids to eat healthy at breakfast, whatever. So if we link everything together, Alex, we can push ourselves out of what's been happening. And we've had our eyes and our ears closed probably for the past, 5, 10, 15 years. And we can reverse what's happening. And I think people helping solve the problem is absolutely stunning. I've had one Paralympic athlete, I tweeted him because he just got an MBE, and I said, oh, what, do you eat oats for breakfast? He's like, yes, can't do without him. So he's on board. I've got the email link for him. So if I can link him with these Teachers Association, with Blackpool, and with what you've just said now, these other people, all of a sudden we can use that Olympic legacy, inspire the children, and say, look, you know, okay, not all of them are going to be Olympic athletes, but they can all strive to what their ability is, and I think that's got to be good. But, you know, I still, in my head, is thinking, whoa, come on, Britain, wake up to the basics. I think people, there's some real key issues that are just not being picked up, but also the politicians won't pick it up. The amount I tweeted, I know it was on Boxing Day because I was bored, but I tweeted all of the MPs, 400-plus, on Twitter, that challenge, right? Now, I didn't expect them to answer straight away. Four did. The Scottish MP, one of them, is backing me 100% because he said he has problems about this disability issue and he's been promoting them. This other lady, she's actually the DFID minister, I nearly died. She said, look, you're going to have to go through your own MP. And I said, look, I won't be asking the question if our MP had actually listened. And anyway, she asked me to write all the stuff in about the farmers on film and about this Olympic challenge, the UN challenge, sorry, to go across across the road, a blind person, because I said, this is going international now. I said, I'm not just keeping it in Britain, because our politicians, every single one, every single party won't answer this simple question.
I tell you what, Sarah, I'll throw in something else here. I'm obviously in a very generous mood, you can tell, Sarah, from this point of view. If any of the aforementioned politicians, either in the House of Lords or indeed in the House of Parliament, actually, who've responded to yourself and working through that, if they'd like to actually talk and share their own thoughts and have a bit of airtime, I'm sure we can actually set that up for them. What do you think, Sarah?
It's a very good idea.
Yeah, you see, there we are. It's there.
I honestly thought, you know, I'm going to ask Lord Lowe, because his comments back was like, oh, what a brilliant initiative, and so easy to understand and everything. And you know what? I think he will be. I think,
well,
these
there
lords.
We are. There's the thing, you see. And once again, Siren, as a radio service, will lead the world in that. It will drive. Stay with us, Sarah, if you will, because we want to talk more about the world peace setup, which is working through that. Who would have thought, you know, first midweek drive back after the new year, we'd already be solving crossing the road for visually impaired people and world peace in the first hour of the production. That's what happens when you actually bring out the big guns. If they'd written that today, they'd probably say, well, you need love, you also need Sarah Bullimore, Sarah Gayton, and Nicola Clancy.
Yay!
Hello.
That's all you need.
Happy New Year!
The team is almost complete, Sarah Gayton.
Brilliant!
Great stuff there. And at the end of the day, let's just, all you need is love and positivity on that sort of pose of you. Have you been listening to the show as you've been sort of driving?
I have.
You have.
Yeah, it's so very interesting just then.
Very exciting, isn't she, Sarah Gayton? Always. Have you been inspired by Sarah Gayton?
I have, definitely. I want to jump on board.
Hey, brilliant.
So
can I ask a massive favour, please?
What do you think, Nicola? Can she ask
you? Oh, no. I think so.
Brilliant. Can I challenge the university, please? And can I challenge in the film school or some of the students to work with the disabled students at the university, people that are blind or partially sighted or in wheelchairs or with any other disability? There's lots I don't know about disabled people, to be honest. And can you just go and make me, I want a 3-minute or 4-minute or 2-minute or short clips of how accessible your town is to these people, please. And I want somebody then to come to this conference to present it on the 3rd of December. Let's see what the issues are. They might already be solved, I don't know. But if they are, film it. If they're not, let's see what the challenges are. Is that okay, please?
Well, it's not really a challenge. It's a case of it's a request, really. It's a request to actually get the thing sorted through for that. So the deadline for this would be when, Sarah?
Well, to be honest, what I want is if you start making the film, and then what we want to do is for that film, I want you to then email it to all of your district councillors. If there's a problem, I want you to email it to the district councillors for a comment and all of your county councillors for a comment, just to see how we can resolve it. Because that's what we're going to do here in Leek, is just say, look, how do you cross this road? And all of a sudden, if you make the people aware of the problem, we will get the solutions. If it's solved, it doesn't matter. That's brilliant. But this one gentleman in Manchester said, well, we can't cross this road because the refuge is too small. And that the first person I interviewed about this was a lady with a large daughter in one of those extended buggies, and she was nearly in tears. To me, saying, Sarah, I cannot cross this road because I can't keep my daughter safe. Now, I don't think that's acceptable, and I think there's lots of hidden stories out there of sheer frustration and emotion and lack of, ability to cross the road in safety.
I tell you what, Sarah, when our journalism students return from their holidays, I don't know how long they last, could be years these days, but you know, we'll throw it to their direction. I think it should be a challenge, really. You know, I mean, it's you know, it's all the things working out there. Nicola, are you actually keen to find out how Sarah Gayton has come up with this concept of how you can actually have peace in the Middle East by actually putting it in the hands of the people and social networking sites as opposed to the governments?
Yeah, I'm very interested. I
want
to know more.
This all links in with the Porridge Power Club as well, because in Stoke, when I spoke to the lady, she said there was 14 different nationalities of children in that school. And I suddenly thought, you know, if we can engage with the people in other countries, in conflict, post-conflict countries, get them, the people that don't want war, they don't want conflict, to get them to do these short videos like we got the one from Kabul. And we can, as long as they're child-friendly, we can show these to the children, have fun with all different foods from around the world, and we can get, at a very early age, children understanding about different cultures, different environments. But that also then engages back with the people in their own countries, and we can get that engagement going. And I also, when we showed that Kabul film at our Stoke Unified Film Festival last year, we had, when I sent the message back to Kabul and said people were amazed at what they saw about you, your environment, what you do, and also the fact you have the same problems with your government, the one email that came back and said, Shukra says to Khalid, please tell them that we love, we care, we want peace. Now, to me, if we can get more of those short films about normal people that don't want to fight, don't want to be in conflict, want a peaceful future for their family, because wherever I've travelled in this world, the most overriding fact for most people is they want a good future for their family. And I think that is absolutely one of through education and engaging with people on a different level. And to be honest, everybody is so proud about you and your Lincoln sausage. It's massive. And
steady on.
Simple things are just...
I don't like to brag, obviously, but please.
Well, this is why I said to that Lincolnshire people on Twitter, the future of Lincolnshire, I said, get it filmed, be proud where it comes from and who farms it, because all of a sudden that could be shown in Kabul, that could be shown in different places, because...
I've often felt that ultimately Osama, or rather Barack Obama, actually missed a trick in not actually using the sausage as a weapon in tracking down Osama. We'll come to that. Sarah, your thoughts on this scenario that's put forward? I mean, to be fair, yeah, the credibility is, I mean, you worked for the United Nations, Sarah Gayton, you worked over in Kosovo, you worked in conflict environments. So what are your thoughts, Sarah Bullimore?
It's absolutely amazing, really. I mean, what I'm kind of keen to find out, Sarah, a bit more about is where do you kind of come up with all the ideas for your campaigns for, you know,
is it the biscuits?
Inspiration.
Is it something you put in the biscuits,
yeah,
Sarah?
What makes you kind of get up and think, you know, what am I going to do?
I do listen a lot to local BBC Radio Stoke, and to be honest, there are lots of challenges that come out there. Lots of people go on it, and you just start connecting. But it's also at your young ages, or your students, you want to be going to different countries, not just travel there, go for 3 months, go and work there. Go and work at all the different places. Get so many different experiences, because too many people stop in one job for life. Well, not now, it's changed a bit. But you've got to grab every single opportunity and experience and push yourself that much. Apply for travel scholarships. I did all my travel through all the people. They paid me to go and study waste in Israel.
It's always nice.
They told me not to go to Gaza and the West Bank. I was like, okay, and I went. I went to Poland and travelled. I did my own trip to the United Nations Environment Programme in Kenya. I set up a 2-week study tour there and met people. You get to learn to know what motivates people. That's the key thing. As I say, most people just want a nice, quiet life. And that's it, really. But what is happening, as I see, is that the simple solutions are just being missed. And it's a travesty. Do you know what I mean? But if you do innovative things, simple things back. It's like, honestly, if you look at that 3-minute challenge, and my friend who videoed, she's got one shot, and I'm mortified by it. You'll have to see what I mean when you see it. But we can change the world with that. We can change Britain with it. A 3-minute flip video, how to cross this road. £1.2 million spent on improving a road system with 9 crossings that blind people cannot cross now. It doesn't make sense, does it?
We've come full circle, I feel. Nicola, any questions from yourself?
Actually, I'm really interested in how you got into such a position, because this sounds like a very interesting role.
It's going to be amazing. You basically, I've been pushed to it purely because in January, I saw the new scheme for LEAK, right, and I instantly said, that will not work for our blind, partially sighted people or disabled people. And I wrote straight to Mr. Cameron. I said, Mr. Cameron, this is not going to work. And I was mortified, and I wrote to all of our district councillors and said, when did you know the crossings were going to go? And they all wrote back bar two and said, we didn't know. They didn't even know they were going. And I was like, oh. Anyway, since then, we did our own little videos on YouTube. I've written to all the district councillors. I wrote to the county councillors. I wrote to the MP. I wrote to Ed Miliband. I wrote to Nick Clegg. I wrote to the Prime Minister. We've been to London four times. We wrote to the guide dogs, to Royal Institute for the Blind. We wrote to honestly, you would not believe that we did not contact everybody. And we even slept on the roundabout for 17 nights and had to go up in court against a prostitution lawyer, and I will get him somehow, I don't know how, but to tell us to turf us off the roundabout. And even on the last night on that roundabout, I was told to get off by my colleagues because I was making everybody look an idiot. And I said, I am not getting off because these blind people have had no voice, right? One lady collected up with me, and the next day we had the blind people come, and they walked off the roundabout. Even then, I went to the length of asking our council to put an injunction on the county council to stop what was happening. But nobody in this country would stand up for blind people. And what happened, I think it was 2 weeks before Christmas, we had a Freedom of Information, which is the most powerful tool we have to get democracy in this country, on our county council. And the guide dogs, bless them, had recommended to put in improvements for the blind people. And do you know what our county council said? The representative said the three new scraggly trees were more important than a crossing for the blind person. And I thought this is...
I think it's an interesting time, and obviously, appreciate, we need to obviously have writer reply and all sorts of other bits of news, so I don't want to go into any sort of areas on that particular area. As we've said, we've opened it up to sort of... We could certainly sort of look to maybe follow the story in all sorts of ways.
Just let me finish that. This is why I had to take it internationally, because I could not get anybody to say that this was going to be a problem. That's where the international challenges come. And because people overseas realise it's a problem, they're helping. So when you've tried everything, and you can have copies of the letters, you can actually write to Mr. Cameron asking why. Ask all the people that I asked, why didn't you answer and why didn't you help? But that's why I've taken it internationally, because when I worked for the UN, for the first time ever, I was allowed to just get on and do it. I was like, ooh, completely different management style and ethos to getting the problem solved. So when people stop listening to people that have this real concern, you have to think of things differently. Stafford Hospital, the lady, they chased down the Minister for Health at a football match to get that inquiry. She has been justified in her 5 years of asking for a public inquiry.
We're going to find out more about various other things, and also we'll share with our American correspondents, I'm sure Phil Leonis has actually tuned in, if he's woken up and is sorted out from that movie. He might have one or two interesting views on the sort of American perspective on this, and people power and a whole stack of other things. Sarah, it's been fabulous as ever. We're giving
you
a little extra few bonus points because we felt the very important points to be raised from that point of view. If you go to YouTube and just type in Sarah Gayton, Gayton, I'm sure you'll get lots of things coming through from that point of view. I noticed the OT biscuits didn't arrive for the Myathon. I mean, I know you were devastated, Nicola. You ended up having to produce your own biscuits, really. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's sorted through. So Nicola's still waiting for our OT biscuits. I'm sure they'll arrive in the fullness of time. Nicola, what are the last two questions we need to throw to Sarah Gayton now?
Yes. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today, Sarah?
Absolutely brilliant. And you know what? I'll tell you what. I will come down in the next month or something, and
Excellent.
If you set me some lectures up, I can do some... I can talk to the group.
all sorts of things could be happening from that point of view. I know we'll talk about Lincolnshire sausage tomorrow morning. Can you believe it? Yes, well, meaning Windweek Drive morning at 8 a.m. Sarah Gayton will return. Michelle Munro will be up very shortly. Michael Armstrong, the events and promotions manager from the Lincoln Business Improvement Group, will be connecting with us shortly after 6 o'clock. And then the voice of Scott Tracy, Shane Rimmer, plus, of course, Phil Learness. Music Overdose, we might be talking about that. We'll certainly be talking more about Lincoln Inspired and a whole heap of other scenarios, etc. Sarah Gayton, keep on keeping on. And just keep on sending those emails, tweeting those tweets. And,
I will.
Stand by that challenge. You know, we'll see how things operate.